another seed instead of Abel, for Cain slew him. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enosh. Then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. Now chapter 12. Verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. Verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Chapter 13. Verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot was with him. Verse 3. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, O Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And he that shall be possessor of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Now, for the sake of time, chapter 18. Verse 22. And the men turned from thence, and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou consume the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there are 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou consume and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that so the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it, if I find there 45. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for the 40's sake. And he said, O, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 20's sake. And he said, O, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left off communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that thou hast shined into our hearts. What thou hast done for us, thou hast promised to do to every man. The light that lighteth every man coming into the world. But our Father, how glad we are that this is not said of us. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Our Father, indeed, we are evil, and our lives were evil, but we still receive the light. We are thankful. And our God, our hearts have thrilled, as thou hast brought before our eyes the beginning of the history since the creation of the world. We rejoice that we believe that God made heaven and earth and the things that therein are. We rejoice, our God, that we acknowledge this, and we desire to learn about your dealings with man from the beginning of creation. So help us this night. We confess our sin. We confess our powerlessness to do anything of value apart from thee. But we are unafraid because our sufficiency is of God. So grant that sufficiency. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. In Genesis 4, you have men communing with God. You have Cain bringing his gift, and you have Abel bringing his offering. They are both seeking to commune with God. But after Cain puts Abel, his brother, to death, God lets Cain, the wicked one, live, and he permitted Abel, the righteous, as our Savior called him in Matthew chapter 23, from the blood of Abel, the righteous. And in this line of Cain, Cain begets sons and daughters, and you look down the line of Cain, and there is not one mention of worship. There is not one mention of calling upon the name of the Lord. And then his line suddenly vanishes, and you read of it no more. But it takes up again that Abel, that Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Seth, and Seth begat a son and called his name Enosh. And it says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Do you see what has happened? You find the wicked one knowing the heart of Cain and knowing the heart of Abel. And for that reason it says, Cain was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his brother's works were righteous and his works were evil. And Satan detests God being called upon and worshipped. And for that reason, he seeks to obliterate the line of men that shall call upon the name of the Lord. But what happens is this, that when Abel was taken away, God gives our parents another child, Seth. And then Seth is given a child. And after these two generations, it says, then man began to call upon the name of the Lord. That which was lost for God knows how many years, now after this second generation of the other son of Adam and Eve, then man began to call upon the name of the Lord. Now think of this. This is what is so moving. That here is man, such a short distance removed from God, his maker. And he's in the world, and yet there is something in man that makes him know that he must call upon his God. He knows that there is a God, and he is not independent. He, not as the line of Cain, will build a city and enjoy life outside the garden without God, That's what man does. You see, God intended man to enjoy life inside the garden, but man is expelled from the garden, and now Cain has tried to find a way to enjoy life outside the garden. And I could tell you about his descendants, how they excelled in the area of music and artificers and agriculture and all of these things. And all of these things are good. But what was wrong was this, that they tried to enjoy all of these things apart from God. And whatever may have been the case, we have no record that any of the descendants of Cain called upon the name of the Lord. But having mentioned the line of Seth and Enosh, then it says, men began to call upon the Lord. And once again, Satan, who thought he had destroyed this godly seed, discovered that he had not. And just as Abel was worshiping God truly, so other men were calling upon the name of God. All right. This is what we have. And whereas it says, then began men to call upon God, you find no mention of any man calling upon God until we get to Genesis chapter 12, whereas I have no doubt in my heart that Enoch called upon God and that Noah called upon God, because it says Enoch had a testimony born to him. God took him. You know that, but it doesn't mention his prayer life. It says that Enoch walked with God, and it does not say that Noah called unto God, but it says Noah walked with God. And notice, you have this line of Seth, Cain's line. Nothing is said about his descendants walking with God, calling upon God. But you have Seth's line and his descendants. You find all of them walking with God. Noah walked with God. Then it says for the first time that an individual by name calls upon God. You say, well, how beautiful. We find that finally, after Adam and Seth and Enosh, then this godly line began to call upon the Lord, and they've been continuing to call upon the Lord until now. Abraham is one that God picks up who is calling upon the Lord. I wish I could tell you that. I told you this morning that the finest commentary on the Old Testament is the Old Testament. And what it says in Joshua chapter 24 is that your fathers were idolaters beyond the river. And it mentions the name of the descendants, the father and grandfather of Abraham. And it says Nahor, his father, was an idolater. How tragic. You see, just because men at one period of the earth's history call on the Lord, it does not necessarily mean that the children of a godly line are going to call on the Lord. Here is Eli. And Eli has two sons named Hophni and Phinehas, and they are wicked men. But some godly men have children that call upon their God and cast themselves upon the God of their fathers. And other godly men have children, and they turn out to be children like Hophni and Phinehas. And so what happens is that after Seth and Enosh beget children, and they began to call on the name of the Lord, there has been a reversion, and now the father and grandfather of our hero, Abraham, the father of the faithful, you find that Joshua himself says they were idolaters beyond the river, and then God calls them. All right. Now, this is what happens, and what is of such importance is that at the beginning of Genesis chapter 12, you have God calling Abraham, and then in the middle of Genesis chapter 12, you have Abraham calling upon God. God calls first, and Abraham responds, and then after howsoever long a time, with Abraham communing with God, then finally Abraham calls upon the name of the Lord. He builds an altar in chapter 12, verse 7, and he builds another altar in verse 8. I may tell you this. There are five mentions of altars that Abraham builds, but only four of them are distinct altars, and the one that is most significant to us is chapter 22, when he built the altar upon which he was to offer his only begotten son, Isaac. But an altar speaks of worship, our giving to God, our sacrificing to God. But calling upon the name of the Lord is not our giving something to God, but it is calling upon God to give us something. And Abraham had both an altar upon which he offered sacrifices and gifts to God, and at the same time, he had a prayer life. He could call upon that God to whom he had given things. That's most important. I feel sad when I think of those who go through life disregarding God, giving God nothing. And then a child is smitten with a sickness that is incurable. And then this individual has to go to God to whom he's given nothing, to whom God is a stranger. And he has to call upon God and he hopes that God will hear him. This has not been so with Abram. After God called Abram, it says, by faith, Abraham went out. All right. This was the exercise of faith. Abraham went out. And after God speaks to Abram and trains Abram, then Abram builds an altar. And then, when he moves to a distant place, he builds another altar. I'll bring this in now, so it won't be passed over. I mentioned there are five altars, and yet only four distinct altars, because having built this altar in chapter 12 of Genesis, in a time of famine, Abram goes down to Egypt, and I cannot describe the trouble in which he found himself entangled, because he told half a truth, because Sarai was his half-sister. But he said, tell them you are my sister. Do not tell them you are my wife. But after escaping that difficulty in Egypt, it says in chapter 13, that he came back to the place where he had built an altar, and he called upon the Lord there. And that is what is so important. To build an altar and call upon God the first time, fine. But what happens when time of famine comes and you go down into Egypt? Then it is time that you come back to where you were before, to that altar upon which you worshiped God. And then you call upon God at that same place. And then, if you continue to go through life with God, as God says, walk after me and be thou perfect. If you do that, then to every location that you find yourself, you have to build an altar. I think of those who, if they go to some city and there happens to be a place where they can worship God in spirit and in truth, that's fine. If not, they will go to some church that is not as good as I would want it to be. I believe if I had two or three, I would start a church in my own house. I would have an altar where I could give something. God is seeking worshipers. Well, this is what Abraham did as he went from place to place. And at the same time, it's not only giving God something. You call upon God for things. Because there is a vanity of life. There is a desert, a wilderness through which we pass. And we must call upon God. We must cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. There must be this communion with God. And here is what I want to bring to your attention. That before Abraham starts calling upon God, God calls Abram. And then, after so long a time of communion with God, finally, instead of God talking to Abraham, Abraham starts talking to God. And then, this is so beautiful. Before, God has just been talking to Abraham, and Abraham is listening. But then in chapter 15, God continues to talk to Abraham. But then Abraham has a conversation with God. Are you familiar with God? That familiar with God. That God will talk to you and that you can talk to God. It says, I read it in Genesis 15 that Abraham could do it. And I read that Moses talked with God as a man talks with a friend face to face. Such intimacy with God. And this is when God has taught men to pray. And now, Abram is not only asking God for things, he is talking with God. Now, I confess, I have never heard the voice of God audibly. But do you realize that for the first few hundred years in the history of man, God came, and I take it liberally, that God came and talked to our parents, walked with them in the garden in the cool of the evening. It says in Genesis 3 that they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I take it that God would come and he would walk and commune with our parents, Adam and Eve, just as he walked with Enoch outside the garden. Take that to heart. You do not have to be sinless in a garden to walk with God. In a world of sin upon which God is going to bring condemnation, you can still walk with God and please God. And the time can be that you can be taken to heaven before the rapture. Who knew that there was going to be a rapture of Enoch? God had made no such promise. But his ways had been so pleasing that God raptured him to heaven. And I may tell you this about raptures that are not recorded. It says in Revelation chapter 11 that there is a resurrection and a catching up to heaven there of the two witnesses. And God has never told us about that. And so live as close to God and walk with God as warmly and lovingly and as pleasingly as Enoch did, and perhaps you'll be raptured ahead of time. But men can walk to God in this wicked world. And it says in chapter 6 that God looked at man, and every imagination of the heart of man was only evil continually. And God said, the end of all flesh is come before me. But Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Noah walked with God. One of his grandfathers, Enoch, had walked with God. And now, Abraham, a direct descendant of this line, you see, there are those sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so from Shem, this is the line of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And I want to give you this encouragement. I told you it may be that if you are godly, you will have children that will also follow in your footsteps. You may not. But Abraham has it recorded that he built altars. Isaac, his son, is recorded that he built an altar. And Jacob, it is recorded that he built an altar. And it is recorded that these, for three generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of them built altars. They all had communion with God. They had a place of worship. And so it may be that you can look at your son, Isaac, and he is building an altar as you did. You may look at your grandson, Jacob, and he is building an altar as you did. And you have passed on to the third, the second, the third generation. And then Jacob will pass on to his children this fear of God. And you see it coming out so beautifully in Jacob's son, Joseph, that one who is so much reminding us of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the hope. Do not be satisfied if you are a child of God. Cry to God that your son will be a child of God and a worshiper, and pray that your grandchild will be a child of God and a worshiper. Abraham succeeded in doing this, and he called upon the Lord. I may mention this, that when Abraham finally got to the place that he was listening to God and talking to God, he did not always know how to pray intelligently, because God said, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. You see, that's a prayer. How casual is prayer? God is talking to Abraham, and Abraham says, oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. And God says to him, Ishmael is not the one that's going to be your heir. One that comes out of your own body is going to be your heir. I can't go into that now. But understand that when Abraham talks to God, because he has this intimacy with God, it does not mean that he always knows the mind of God. But this is the encouragement. It says in Paul's epistle, if in anything you are otherwise minded, this shall God also reveal unto you. And so Abram, in talking with God, says, oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. God says, this is not my will. If in anything you are otherwise minded, this shall God reveal unto you. He said, you're going to have a son out of your own body. Do you see what God can do? Talk to God. Do not wait until you know perfectly the will of God, because they did not know it in the Old Testament. And in Romans 8, we do not know it in the New Testament. We know not how to pray as we ought. We know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit of God interceded for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. But you know that God wants you to have an heir. Why? Because God has told us that. Remember, you know basically that your line is not to end, because God had made a promise to Abraham. And so, the only child he has is Ishmael. It seems to me as if Ishmael has to be the answer to this promise of God. But God says, that is not the answer to my prayer. And so you pray to God. If God says, I want you to serve me, it may be he'll want you to serve him on the foreign field. It may be as that demoniac that wanted to serve him. He says, go home to your friends and your neighbors and tell them how great things God has done. You're right. You have to serve God. But it may not be on foreign field. It may be on the home field. So talk to God. And then as Christ said, no, I don't want you to be with me. I want you to go home. Oh, that Ishmael may live. No, not Ishmael. One that's going to come out of your own bowels, as it's expressed in the Word of God. All right. And this thought. You have Abram calling upon God in chapter 12, in chapter 13. You have God talking to him. When was Abraham converted? Chapter 15. Chapter 15. It's told there and it's told in Romans, because it says that when God made a promise to Abraham, told him he was going to have a son, and that his offspring would be as the stars of heaven, it says Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I want you to understand that a man can be led by God, can be communing with God, can be worshiping God, but is not born again, is not a child of God. The same thing happened to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He's one that's praying to God always, giving alms to God. And God says, I want this man saved. And so he sends a messenger, and he tells him words whereby he might be saved. So, do not always think that because a man is religious and worships God and prays to God that he's saved. It may mean that God is bringing him up to the point where he is going to believe to the salvation of his soul. But I've taught you this night that Abraham was a man of prayer. God called him first. And having called Abram, then Abram calls upon God, and he continues to do so throughout his life. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so thankful that you want to hear our voices, to think that you, the Creator of heaven and earth, and as Abraham described himself, I who am but dust and ashes, you will listen to us. Speak to you, and you want us to speak to you. And Father, we marvel that you would speak to men of old. We can understand your grace seeking after our parents when they were lost in the garden. And our Father, you are seeking the firstborn child, Cain. But you speak to men, our Father, and you talk to them, and you seek to win them. And we are thankful that whereas in the case of Cain, you were despised and rejected, in the case of Abram, you were believed and received into his heart. So, Lord, let us not be discouraged. Let us remember that there are those like Cain who are of the evil one. But let us remember also that there are those like Abraham, the father of the faithful. Let us sow the seed. Let us cast our bread upon the waters. Let us trust thee for the outcome. Bless these truths to our hearts, we pray. And let us never be without an altar, and let us never be without calling upon the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.